Good Sunday morning, Detroit, and to all of you across the Great Lakes state of Michigan. Welcome to JR Sunday. It's great to have you with us on this morning. The Mackinac Policy Conference, first held 1981, brings together more than 1,500 attendees, including Michigan government officials, business executives, and civic leaders to discuss state economic development and public policy. They bring along 100 registered guests, and the annual event hosted by the Detroit Regional Chamber is held at the Grand Hotel on Mackinac Island, but in reality, it takes over the entire island. This year, Tuesday, May 26th through Friday, May 29th, this week, right at the Grand Hotel, I'm blessed to be joined in studio on this morning, celebrating a full show to those that are making the journey up and those that will be benefited by the discussions that take place up there by Terry Radigan, who is with the Detroit Regional Chamber. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you, Mark. I'm so excited to be with you this morning, and the fact that the Mackinac Policy Conference is back in is just a great week for our city, our state, and our region.
And it's just days away, and it's there's so many good reasons that we look forward to this event. One, summer's here. It's kind of the launch of summer. We know the Grand Prix is just around the corner down on the streets of Detroit. You and I have both been part of this policy conference from many different perspectives. I can go back to my days as athletic director, the opportunity to meet people, to learn from a lot of the programming. Like that, you've approached this in many different perspectives.
I have, Mark. You know, I had a long career with General Motors, and I represented the company at the Mackinac Policy Conference on a number of occasions. I had a few opportunities to speak at the conference. And so I saw it from that perspective as a sponsor and a speaker, and got to benefit from the outstanding programming, the stellar lineup of speakers that they're able to bring in, and of course, from the networking that happens throughout the week on Mackinac Island. So I have that perspective as a corporate leader in the city. But then, you know, when I retired, I joined the chamber as a part-time consultant. So I've been able to see it from the other side. And let me tell you something, this small but mighty team that Sandy leads is unbelievable at pulling this thing off. This is on a scale of something I've never seen before. It's 1,500 people. It's a three-day conference with national speakers, with a level of complexity that it really supersedes anything I've done, whether it was an auto show, a centennial, a product unveiling, or anything else that happened in my career.
This Sandy guy, he's like the Yoda of Detroit. He's so intelligent, so wise. He oversees a small and mighty staff and pulls this off in an unbelievable way. Why don't you introduce our Detroit Yoda
well,
right now?
We're delighted that he's actually in studio, and to be with us on such a busy time is a delight. He's the president and CEO of the Detroit Regional Chamber and has been so since 2010. Please welcome Sandy Barua.
Well, happy Sunday, everyone. And the reason Mark and Terry are calling me Yoda is because I happen to be sitting in a chair that is about 1 foot lower than everybody else at this table. And I do look like Yoda.
Yes, you do. But it's also the wisdom that you share with this state and how you bring people together, much in the way that one of my favorite characters does. But this event is really about that. It's the programming you have is unbelievable. The speakers you have is unbelievable. You've had an unbelievable list of chairs that have overseen the proceedings. And there's, Bob Riney might be one of the greatest that you're going to have in a long, long time. His input, the time he's put into it, the energy, he's just stepped up in a big way for you this year.
So our board members kind of almost take turns being chair of the conference. Bob Riney, as you noted, is this year's chair. Bob is obviously one of this state's premier business leaders. What he has done with Henry Ford Health, what he has done at the national level regarding national health care policy issues is super impressive. But frankly, most importantly, is Bob is a partner in crime with me. We have made some fairly notable changes with the conference, and Bob and I have been very good friends since I moved. My wife and I moved to Detroit about 15 years ago. Bob and his wife, Sandy, kind of took us under their wing, and we've been dear friends ever since. We live in the same neighborhood. We have dinner together a lot. And it has been a very organic symbiotic relationship. So the changes that you see up at the conference this year, if you're headed up, I-75 on today or tomorrow, you will notice some changes, and that is a partnership between Bob Riney and myself.
Terry, I'd like to ask you, we're blessed to have you for two segments. So a lot of the questions that we want to have with you will be in that first one. But the one I wanted to focus on in this open is related to the themes that you've had over the years. And if you go back, it's, you know, coming out of the pandemic, reimagining a healthy Michigan. And then in 22, the business community's changing civic role in polarizing times. In 23, it was the power of sort of stepping away from the either or perspectives in problem solving, yet bridging the future together. Last year, it was Michigan's equation for impact. Terry, this year's is a unique one, and it's all Bob Riney and Sandy putting this together. But it's a quest for common ground. What does that mean to you, Terry?
To me, it means that as a state, we have absolutely got to come together and end the divisiveness that we see throughout the political landscape. And Bob's the right guy. That's how he approaches his business, his various philanthropic activities that he does, the board chairmanships that he does. He is a collaborator. He's a guy that brings people together from different sides of the aisle. And for some reason right now, we haven't been able to practice that as a state, and it's hurting us. And so I love the theme that he came up with, and I think it's very timely. And I think the programming that Bob and Sandy and Megan and others have put together really pays off that quest for common ground.
And Sandy, it's not saying that we all need to be the same. We don't all have to have the same answers, but it's much easier to be productive if you join those differences and figure out a pathway forward.
You know, Ronald Reagan used to say that, you know, I'll take 70 or 80% of a solution just to move the ball forward. Yeah, I'll come back and try to get the other 20% that I left on the table later. But the important thing is to move forward. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, and the Detroit Regional Chamber has a reputation for, you know, calling a spade a spade. And, you know, since the year 2000, Mark, we have gone from a top 20 state in per capita income, in educational achievement, in population, to a bottom 10 state. We are now in the 40s when it comes to income growth, educational achievement, and per capita income. And so these trends are certainly reversible, but they're not reversible if the Democrats stay in their camp, the Republicans stay in their camp, and never the two shall meet. We are a purple state. We go back and forth between Democratic leadership and Republican leadership, both in the legislature and the governor's chair. So we're trying to move beyond the whole, it's the Democrats' fault or it's the Republicans' fault. We have to find a purple way forward.
I'm going to ask both of you this question. When you watch a good TV show, it always opens up with previously on Landman, and then you go into the next. So if we're talking about previously on and you look back at 2025, what were the highlights? We'll start with you, Sandy. What were the highlights of last year? And were there some things that you saw in that came to fruition?
So, you know, one of the knocks against the conference is that, well, gee, you know, you didn't implement any new legislation at the conference. And I say, well, yeah, we're not a policy-making body. We're a policy conference. And our job is to bring together the top philanthropic leaders, civic leaders, governmental leaders, and of course, business leaders, which is our primary audience at the Detroit Regional Chamber, together to have the conversations that are important to Michigan's future. So when you look at the conference over the years, the Gordie Howe International Crossing, we advocated for that for over 15 years and, you know, finally got the coalition together at the conference to make that happen. When you look at insurance reform, car insurance reform in Michigan, that was done at the conference. The final negotiations for Detroit coming out of bankruptcy was done at the conference. So big things happened there, but we're not a policy-making body. We're not going to vote on something and that becomes Michigan law.
Terry, we've got about 30 seconds left.
I would just say, Mark, coming off of last year, Peter Quigley, then CEO of Kelly, did an outstanding job as the chair last year, and I think some really meaningful steps came out of it. It leads to what Bob's chairing right now, which is a very, very important policy conference because of the election year, and we can talk about that in the next segment. But this is a seminal moment in our state's history.
I thought you'd both say Mark Hollis got engaged, but that's... for here nor there. We're going to be back with this special here on the Mackinac Policy Conference put on by the Detroit Regional Chamber, Sandy Barua, and our good friend Terry Radigan, who does so much for the Sports Commission as well as the Detroit Regional Chamber, are with us, and we'll be back on JR Sunday right after this. Welcome back to JR Sunday on this Mackinac Policy Conference special put on by the Detroit Regional Chamber. And Terry, it's Sunday, and folks are going to be traveling up here pretty much tomorrow, Tuesday, for this spectacular gathering once again.
It's an annual pilgrimage, and a lot of people get very familiar with the I-75 corridor and Shepler's, and, of course, the Grand Hotel. And we're so delighted that Sandy Barua, the president and CEO of the Detroit Regional Chamber, is here with us for another segment. And Sandy, we've talked already about the theme that Bob Riney came up with, which was a quest for common ground. But there's some changes that you indicated are happening at the conference this year. Maybe you could talk about what you're most excited about with this year's conference.
So the conference has evolved over the years. As you both mentioned, it's 50 years old or soon to be 50 years old. One of the things that we've learned over the last decade is that for some odd reason, our guests, which are the most influential people in the state of Michigan, don't want to sit in a theater for 5 or 6 hours at a time. Shocking learning for us. So what we've done is that we've condensed all of our kind of national speakers, you know, the people like, you know, Vice President Pence is going to be there, Secretary Buttigieg is going to be there, actor Gary Sinise is going to be there, Cornel West. We have 6 former governors, not just from Michigan, 2 from Michigan, Granholm and Snyder, of course, our existing governor. We're going to put them all in the morning on the main stage, and then it's going to be kind of a create-your-own-adventure in the afternoon. We're going to have plenty of policy sessions, and actually a lot more to choose from than we've ever had before, and we're going to have networking, kind of program networking activities, and of course, if the weather's nice and you want to play golf with your business colleagues, you know, go play some golf.
One of the questions I have, and you mentioned the present Governor and Gretchen Whitmer. This is her last as part of the Mackinac Policy Conference. You also have Mary Sheffield, who is the mayor of the city of Detroit. It's her first in that role. What do those two, I guess, last and first kind of scenarios present to you, and what kind of value do you see in these transitions?
Yeah, so you know, the conference has a history of welcoming new sitting very senior officials, new governors, new U.S. senators, new mayors, of course. But we also have a tradition of really honoring the service of those who leave office after a spectacular career. We did that with John Dingell. We did that with Debbie Stabenow. And we're looking forward to doing that with Gretchen Whitmer. Gretchen Whitmer has become, I'm just going to say it, she's become a personal friend. She's as genuine as she appears, and she is one of the most popular governors in our 50 states. Very few governors have the approval rating that she has in her last year of her second term. It is really quite phenomenal.
Sandy, since the theme of the conference is a quest for common ground, it implies that we have become polarized and maybe in an extreme way. So what do you think has caused this extreme polarization within our state?
Yeah. So, Terry, as you know, I talk a lot about the polarization, how we got here at a national level. That has a lot to do with media. It has to do with how we all as individuals consume media. We all live, if we realize it or not, in media echo chambers, and also the the rise of social media and how we communicate with each other has kind of allowed us to frankly lose our social graces, to be lack, you know, and again, I don't want to be the old guy that sounds like get off my lawn. But, you know, we really have lost those social graces, and people think that they can say anything to anybody anonymously online, and it's okay. And frankly, it's not.
We're talking with Sandy Brua, and one of the things I've noted, I'm a sports guy, right? I grew up in sports. Tom Izzo and Dusty May are scheduled to be up there as part of it. And when you look at a basketball team, they pretty much have to do what you're striving to do in this conference. They bring together 15 guys that come from different backgrounds, have different philosophies, and those coaches have to blend them together. Dusty May did an incredible job with it this year to win the national title. They have to blend those different perspectives in a way where they go out and seek common good, common goal of winning basketball games. I think they're very good perspective of what we're trying to accomplish as a state.
Mark, I couldn't agree with you more with the basketball analogy. Yes, the different people, they all have different skills, right? They all come from different backgrounds. They all have different religions or value systems, but the goal is the same, right? Mm-hmm. And they are united in achieving that goal, and everyone plays a part. We need to move Michigan's politics in that direction. Again, you know, if we just ping pong back and forth between, well, these are the left or the Democratic solutions, these are the right and the Republican solutions, and we're not talking about, as you said, Mark, blending them together in a way that moves the state forward, we're going to continue to drop in these rankings, like in population growth, per capita income, educational achievement.
Mark, do you think, or sorry, Sandy, do you think that—
We look a lot alike. You can't, I get that. Yeah,
I don't answer questions.
Yeah. It's like, he doesn't get paid enough to answer questions.
This common ground theme, does business have a role in that?
Business plays a critical role. Just about every business leader I know, if they run a large company, if they run a small company, if it's publicly held or privately held, they are practical solution seekers. That's what they're looking for. They, you know, and they kind of operate in the middle, right? Because they've got staffs of, you know, anywhere between dozens to thousands of people, right? And they all come from different walks of life, just like Mark's basketball analogy. They have to find the way forward that works for everybody. That comes from a people standpoint, but it also comes from a policy standpoint.
As you look at this year, and you mentioned some of the speakers that are coming up, but when you approach this, we'll be coming up Monday. I'm assuming you're going up early
Correct.
In the week.
Yes.
What are the things that you're most excited about this year? I mean, every year, you know, whether you're running an athletic department, a corporation like a General Motors, you have to reset, get ready, and do something new. This is a new year. This is a new policy conference. What excites you the most about 2026?
Well, you know, we are trying a new format, and it has led to a tremendous amount of work. I cannot overstate how much more work this conference is compared to any other conference in the past. And the chamber team that Terry and I get to work with on a daily basis has really stepped up. They're, you know, despite the amount of work that they have, they're getting the work done. They're not complaining. They're innovating. We're trying something new, and I'm just so thankful that I get to work with these professionals every day.
It's really a family atmosphere, is what I see. And Sandy's right. It's an order of magnitude more work this year because of the new format. But you don't hear anyone complaining. They just pull together and they get it done, and it's a pleasure to watch.
When you look back, Terry, at your years, how much time was spent in the programming part of it versus I'm not going to call it social, because there's really work being done on the porch or in the different establishments in town where you're meeting. You can't leave the island, so folks right. are there. Did you get a lot of work done there?
Oh, my gosh. Incredible amount. And that was with the existing format, where we did spend a fair amount of time, as Sandy mentioned, in the theater, but there still was plenty of time for the networking, and everyone you want to talk to is in one place, and you know how difficult it is to get on someone's calendar. Everyone's very busy, but when we're all literally captive on an island, you can get a lot of work done.
Sandy, folks are getting ready to go up today. Some are going tomorrow, some Tuesday. Any kind of final comments for those that are making the journey up?
Well, first and most importantly, you know, watch for the speed traps on I-75. I think we all know where the police hang out.
The governor's coming. She can set them aside and put them on another.
that's super important. But, you know, first of all, again, for those of you who are going up, first of all, I want to say thank you. Thank you for supporting the Detroit Regional Chamber. Thank you for supporting the historic Mackinac Policy Conference. And again, with all the changes that the team that Terry and I get to work with are making, you know, there's probably going to be a glitch here and there. And again, you know, we're, you know, if you're not making mistakes, if you're not fumbling the ball every once in a while, you're not trying hard enough. And we're probably going to fumble the ball once or twice, but it's still going to be a fantastic experience.
Well, we're looking forward to it. As always, it's an incredible opportunity for everyone that's involved in the Mackinac Policy Conference special presented by the Detroit Regional Chamber is going to be back right here on WJR right after this break. And welcome back to JR Sunday for this Mackinac Policy Conference special presented by the Detroit Regional Chamber. And we're blessed to have a good friend, somebody who both Terry Ragan and I got to spend a lot of time with during the 2024 NFL Draft. And Mike Duggan, good morning to you, my friend.
Good morning.
It's great to have you with us. One thing right off the top, when we had the opportunity to work with you in building what arguably is one of the greatest events and your hand on the rudder of the NFL draft, it was really a precursor to Bob Riney and the approach that they're taking, finding a common ground. We brought a lot of people together to do something in a way that was remarkable, even though all of us came from different backgrounds and different experiences and different expertise.
Well, I had been out at the NFL draft in Kansas City, and as you know, they held the whole thing in a park miles away from downtown, and all they were talking about on talk radio was how none of the Kansas City businesses benefited from it, got included in it. They even talked about the fact that the plastic ferns came from another state. And so I think we learned our lessons, and the job that you guys did in reaching out to businesses in Detroit, showing them all the opportunities, give them a chance to do the work. And then also because we spread the draft through downtown, a lot of other businesses benefited. It really became a community celebration.
And Terry, now we're on the eve of Memorial Day, and the policy conference is right around the corner.
And here we are. And before we go to that, Mike, I have to say, we're a couple of Spartans here in the studio, and we feel like we really have to congratulate you and your Michigan Wolverines on that national championship last month. That was very exciting and good for the whole state, and not easy for us Spartans to say.
No, go blue. It's we can say it. This year, we're hoping go blue, go green at the Final Four in Detroit.
So. Yeah, well, wouldn't that be something to have both teams there? And I think they have the potential. But no, I've been a huge Michigan basketball fan since I was in school there. And it was the best Michigan team I ever saw. And I'm glad they finished the season and proved that.
They were a juggernaut for sure. So speaking of our state, you know that the theme of this policy conference is to a quest for common ground. That's Bob Riney's theme. There's a lot of ways that can manifest itself, but one way that is in the news a lot right now, Mike, is finding common ground around data centers. Could you talk about that a little bit?
There's no question. So I was just in northern Michigan where there's a controversial proposal there. And there's a couple things that we have to recognize. Data centers are important for the economy of the state. They're the digital backbone of the technology companies and your cell phone. But the way we've gone about it as a state has been absolutely chaotic. 20 different proposals popping up in different neighborhoods with different standards, and people are understandably upset. They're worried about their electric rates going to go up. Is it going to do damage to the environment? And we need to move to a single standard that applies to every single one that says, you know, if you want to be a data center developer, you're going to pay 100% of the cost of the new power. These centers take a huge amount of power. It can't be paid for by the people in the community. And you can't be taking the water from the rivers and lakes, cooling the computers and returning it at a higher temperature. You have to have a closed-loop recycled system that doesn't damage Michigan's water resources. And these things I think people can agree on, and I think the sooner everybody agrees on a single standard, then you can start to go to communities and let's support the communities who want it, and let's also back the communities that don't.
You know, I'm always going to lean back to sports, Terry, and I'm going to take this. There are five NBA owners that reside or come from the state of Michigan. It's the most of any state in the nation. And as you're looking at state office now, and you look at these type of leaders that you have to work with in the state of Michigan, how important is it that business and government work together in creating solutions, creating strategies, and finding ways to propel our state into the future?
Well, you take a look at what Bob Riney has done at Henry Ford, and, you know, they're building a $2 billion hospital system that is going to dramatically raise the standard of health care in Detroit and the region, and he's also building a Michigan State health research building across the street in partnership with the university. And he didn't come in and say, we're a nonprofit, we can do what we want, we can build what we want. He came in and reached out to the community and said, what does the community want? They designed in the way the neighbors wanted. They took care of the surrounding neighborhood with improvements. They're creating job paths for Detroiters, and they partnered with our Intelliman and Pistons to build lots of affordable housing so the people who have lived there don't get pushed out through gentrification. It, to me, is exactly the kind of development we need. I think it's appropriate that Bob is the chair of the conference.
We're here with Mike Duggan and Terry Rattigan. I grew up a Pistons fan, Terry, but I will note there's only one NBA owner that's still in the playoffs.
Oh, very good. And yes, indeed.
I had to get that in.
Congratulations to Dan Gilbert for that.
Mike will be appearing the opening night on the main stage, which is early this year, on Tuesday afternoon. Mike, talk about this event, the Mackinac Policy Conference, and the value it's had for you, both as a business leader and then in government office.
You know, I think I go back to 1999, and I spent a summer as the special deputy superintendent of the Detroit Public Schools to repair 200 schools in one summer. And there was no way to track the contractors through those 200 schools. And the chamber let me go up on the stage and say to the business folks, I need a partner. I need independent eyes and ears on every school to watch what's being done. And it was remarkable. Out in that hallway of the chamber, 200 companies signed up. And what we accomplished was because of their independent eyes and ears. And many of those companies were years later partnered with those schools. So I just think about all the chamber has contributed over the years, and I'm just deeply appreciative.
Well, you've gone from asking to delivering, and boy, have you. You know, proud Detroiter and so much that you've done for the city down here, and wish you the best in the journey that's ahead. I look forward to seeing you up on the island. And again, thank you for joining us here on JR Sunday.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Okay. And Terry, we'll be back on the Mackinac Policy Conference special put on by the Detroit Regional Chamber, right?
Right after this. Welcome back to JR Sunday on this Mackinac Policy Conference special. And our next guest is someone who really doesn't need an introduction. She's Tricia Keith, President and CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. And as an extended member of the chamber team, I have to thank you profusely, Tricia. You are, Blue Cross Blue Shield is the diamond sponsor. And as long as I have been going to the conference, which is a long, long time, Blue Cross's support and presence on the island has been unmatched. So first and foremost, thank you very much.
Well, thank you. And, you know, it's an honor and a privilege to serve as the diamond sponsor each year. And it's wonderful that you both are doing this preview show. We're really excited about what's coming at this conference. But, you know, the chamber is such an important partner with Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, and the role that it plays in the region and how it impacts and how it intersects with our customers and the greater community is just so important. And so we're thrilled to be the diamond sponsor. Thank you.
Tricia, this is Mark Hollis. I want to walk you through a scenario. When you walk into a room, no matter where it is, you're one of those individuals where the whole room comes to attention in a way. And I mean this in the most positive way, that it's you bring a level of focus. Now, as you're leading one of the state's largest organizations, as your involvement with the Detroit Regional Chamber and the Mackinac Policy Conference, do you feel a sense of responsibility with that role that you have and that presence that you deliver, that you have to be more than Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan?
Well, those are very kind words, and I would tell you that that respect or that focus, I think, is because of so many people who are carrying our card. And, you know, 45 people out of every 100 in Michigan count on that card to have the confidence to be there. Our employees backing me up are ready to help, and that's what we're here for. And, you know, with that kind of power comes great responsibility. And so we are laser focused, and it's nice of you to call that out, but we're laser focused every day on making sure our members have what they need, because, you know, people need to be able to rely on their health insurer.
Tricia, one of the things I'm looking most forward to this week is actually on Thursday, and you will be having the opportunity to introduce Governor Whitmer and hold a Q&A with her after her final Mackinac Policy Conference keynote address. So what are your thoughts on Governor Whitmer's time in office, and how has that aligned with your own leadership approach?
Well, thanks for bringing that up. And that, you know, in my mind, we build the conference to that crescendo of when the governor always speaks to the attendees. And it's something that we really look forward to. And I'm so honored to be able to introduce her and then do the Q&A. And, you know, we have really great questions that come from the audience when we did it last year. And so I'm sure she's looking forward to it as well. You know, I would say one of the things that I've really admired about her time in public service is she really approached this with a clear purpose. She wanted to build a stronger Michigan. She wanted to deliver real results and make a difference. And, you know, I would say one of my personal mottos that has shaped how I, conduct business is the world is run by those who show up. And I had the opportunity, I kind of chuckled, I had the opportunity to hear the governor reflect on her tenure earlier this year already, and she remarked that, you know, she's really proud of how she did show up for the citizens. And, you know, she signed more than 1,500 bipartisan bills into law. She balanced 7 budgets. Obviously, we've got one more to do. I think she helped bring 35,000 good-paying auto jobs to Michigan, and that really strengthened the economic foundation for our state. And then, you know, obviously you can't talk about the governor without talking about how she was relentlessly focused on fixing the roads. And so I think those are a lot of her accomplishments, you know, that will go down in history. But I would tell you one thing that I have really enjoyed about through it all, she really maintained her sense of humor. And these jobs are hard. And I think it's really fun when people can still not take themselves too seriously and have a little bit of fun with it. She's had that sense of humor, and I have really learned from and admire that.
Terry asked the prepared questions. I obviously don't, but I want to go to one of my favorite shows was Yellowstone. They have a spinoff called Dutton Ranch, and last night on one of the premieres, Rip, who is the guy, Beth is his wife, very feisty, and he's given advice to Carter, who they're raising. And his advice around women was just listen, like just listen. So now we're sitting here. We've got Governor Whitmer is in her last policy conference. You've got Mary Sheffield coming into her first. You've got Tricia Keith, who's one of the most dynamic leaders in the state of Michigan. Is that good advice, you think? Just listen.
I would tell you, I think just listen is really wonderful advice, and I would give you a couple stories. I think, and I'm really glad where that question ended up, because I wasn't sure when we were talking about Beth and Rip.
You know, when I started it, neither was I. So.
No, but I think the just listen is really good advice. One of the great privileges that I had when I was named CEO elect was a long transition. And that gave me personally the opportunity. I did 180 one-hour interview sessions with different people around the company, different people in the community, and really did have the opportunity to learn. And I think it's also one of those things that I hope people really, really think about doing when we're at the conference, because if you really sit and listen to what people are saying, sometimes it's not the words, but it's the message underneath. And I think we all could benefit by listening, by deeply trying to understand what other people are trying to accomplish. I think it's a lesson in, you know, that we talk about here. Great things happen when self-interest align. And if you really listen to what other people are trying to accomplish, generally you can find a way to reach that alignment through
Terry,
the self-interest.
Yeah, as you look at a quest for common ground, which is the theme of this year's policy conference, listening is one of the most important things versus just always talking about what your ideas or ideologies are.
Precisely. And the new format, I think, will allow for that to happen as well, with the programming happening primarily in the morning and then a lot of networking, a lot of side meetings happening in the afternoon. And one of the topics that I think has to be brought up, Tricia, is healthcare affordability and the crisis that we have there. Do you expect to have some conversations around that?
Well, I really hope to. I appreciate you bringing that up, because that's certainly something that we have led here at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, and you know, in with the idea that it takes the whole system working together. We're all serving the same people, and we know this is an issue on people's minds, whether you're at the conference or whether you're at your kitchen table or whether you're in your boardroom talking about the cost of healthcare. And so we've been talking a lot over the last year about what does that mean, and when people receive that insurance bill, that insurance premium, it's really important that we talk about the things that make it up. And so, you know, 47 cents of every dollar that premiums are paid go to hospitals, 25 cents to the providers, 21 cents to drug companies. You know, 9 cents goes to Blue Cross to pay for the services and the call center and paying claims. All of those things add up. And when you see how certain areas of those categories the prices have raised over time, you see what's happened to healthcare premiums. We recognize that is something impacting everybody's pocketbooks, Michigan's economy. We've got to do something to work together to solve that. And so that's what we're committed to, continuing to beat the drum on that until we reach real solutions.
We're talking with Tricia Keith, president and CEO of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan, and does an outstanding job in that leadership role. As you approach this year's policy conference, two things. What, as the leader of your organization, do you hope to pull from it? And as one of the top leaders in the state of Michigan, what do you hope to give to the policy conference?
Well, I think, I'll go back to where I started with the world is run by those who show up, with what the governor was doing. And that's how we at Blue Cross are going to show up at the conference, too. I mean, we are there. Most of the people there are our customers. We are there to talk about the kind of, solutions that we're bringing, both through intellectual power, through a lot of our capabilities, and through the relationships that we've built to bring people together. And so if we can contribute to the conversation that we're going to have around what we need to do in education in Michigan, what we need to do on healthcare affordability, what we need to do on transit, that's how we're going to show up and have conversations with people to hopefully continue to move the region forward.
Well, we so appreciate you being with us this morning. We appreciate very much the Diamond sponsorship. We appreciate the partnership that the Chamber has with Blue Cross Blue Shield. Certainly, Tiffany Albert does a great job representing your company on our board, and just really want to thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing you on the island.
Thank you both for all you're doing. It was great to talk with you, and safe travels. We'll see you on the island.
We'll see you there.
Thanks, Trish. I appreciate what you do for the Rocket Classic, too. I got to get that in.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Thank you. There you go. It's coming fast.
It's coming fast. And we'll be back here on JR Sunday with this Mackinac Policy Conference special put on by the Detroit Regional Chamber.
Which, yes, indeed.
Yeah, you're a proud
member of, indeed.
We'll be back. Welcome back to JR Sunday on this Mackinac Policy Conference special. Our next guest, Devin Skillion. He's been a fixture in Detroit, Terry, as well as the Mackinac Policy Conference.
He's almost synonymous. Mark, he's almost synonymous with the Mackinac Policy Conference, to be honest with you. Some of the memories that I have, the best memories I have, somehow involve Devin, someone he interviewed, or maybe leading us in song. So it's great to have you on the show, Devin.
But the best maybe
is a wonderful introduction. Thank you so much.
The one I love, Devin, is the WTF sessions. But what does that mean? How does that stand for? I don't.
That acronym sounds familiar to
me. It
does. Yeah.
Talk about those, because those are some of the funnest moments and yet the most impactful moments at the conference.
Well, it's funny because I apologize for my voice. I had a concert over the weekend, and ever since then I have sounded like Orson Welles. But the original thought on using WTF, we were kind of thinking about using it in its current understood meaning iteration, because one session is about education. Well, I have wondered, what happened when my wife and I moved to Michigan back in 1995, we were coming to a state that had, well, easily an education system that was in the top quarter, probably in the top 10 to 15 states in the country. And now we have dropped to the very bottom, practically. What has happened? What's happened to our economic climate? That's originally, it was kind of a WTF question, but I decided that we didn't love just looking back, although it's very important. Otherwise, you make the same mistakes. But we've changed WTF now to mean what's the fix? How do we move forward on all of these really, really critical parts of life in Michigan?
And it's really like a TED Talk sort of a quick clip, provocative and leave people thinking. Isn't that right, Devin?
I think that's what we're definitely hoping for. We've got some really good panelists for each of these three panels that are coming up. These are all people who have put a ton of thought into this. I'm assuming that we're going to see some disagreement on some things. I'm really excited that Andrew Yang is coming up to the island. Ran for president in 2020, and I think he was talking about the way that technology was going to wipe out a lot of jobs without necessarily replacing them. And I think a lot of people weren't sure that that was the right message. I'm not sure Andrew Yang thinks that he got much wrong 6 years later, but I don't think that the John Rakolta will agree with him very much. So I'm really, really eager to hear what's going to come from these groups that we're putting together.
As we approach this year's policy conference, a quest for common ground is the theme. What are some of the elements that your conversations, or maybe some of your questions that are out there in trying to bring togetherness in solution making?
You know, Mark and Terry, one of the really interesting things that has come up in our conversations getting ready for Mackinac this year, this is something I find fascinating. For the longest time, I have really admired referring to and thinking of Michigan as a purple state. Obviously, it gives us a ton of attention every time we come around to an election. And I think I just liked that it sort of spoke to a kind of diversity of thought that exists in our state. What I think is an emerging thought is that we pay for purple. When you have elections every 2 years that can suddenly move the other direction, it can be really complicated, if not impossible, to create a consistency of direction. You know, some states are reliably either blue or red. And so when somebody plants the seeds for a tree, it's allowed to keep growing in the same direction in which it was planted. Other states that are purple, somebody comes in and wants to either dig up the tree and plant it somewhere else, bend it so that it grows in a different way. I think there's a really interesting theme that's developed about the cost of, to sort of paraphrase Kermit the Frog, it ain't easy being purple.
Well, we're talking to Devin Scillian. That is not Orson Welles. This is not War of the Worlds. On JR Sunday with Mark Hollis. And Devin, you've been a moderator at Mackinac for so long. And one of my most memorable times being in the audience is when you interviewed former Speaker of the House John Boehner, and you guys enjoyed a Bloody Mary together. What are some of your best and special moments that you remember?
Well, that was definitely a highlight, and it wasn't just that it was really funny that I when I walked out there with the Bloody Mary, his eyes lit up, and he thought that sounded like a great idea, and then he chastised me for not keeping up with him drinking it as we were going along with our session. But he also, quite memorably, he made headlines everywhere that day, and we'd have to go back, how many years ago was that, when he said there is no, you know, this is not the Republican Party anymore, this is the party of Trump. And how many people, it got a lot of attention when he said it. And I think you look back now and it was a pretty prophetic statement. I think a lot of people, even his supporters, would argue that that's how they feel about it now. I've felt so lucky over the years with the people that I've got to interview Tom Friedman one year, the New York Times, who I just think is one of the most expansive and knowledgeable thinkers on the international stage. That was fantastic. Liz Cheney, when she first kind of emerged as a Republican against Donald Trump. She kind of debuted that thinking with me at the Mackinac Policy Conference. I go back over the years. I just have felt so lucky. The people that they have paired me with to talk to. And last year it was Ian Bremmer. I always run out of time. Before I'm like a five-year-old kid. I never run out of questions. I just run out of time.
You know, I think all three of us that are on this segment remember the days when you had to wait till 6 o'clock for the local news and 6:30 for the national news. Then came along CNN. Then came along social media. As you look at the theme, A Quest for Common Ground, do you believe there's any culpability on the media side for creating some of the division that we're experiencing? And do you think there's a role that the media can play in helping maybe bring together some of the things that have created this extreme polarization?
Well, I will certainly cop to the first part of the question. Yes, the media helped get us where we are. And for me, it was a pretty dark day when media outlets started to say, look, we can't possibly hide our bias. You know, we're going to go ahead and tell you what our opinion is. To me, it's the equivalent of like, well, you can't possibly expect me to keep my opinion to myself. I've worked really, really hard in my 40 years in journalism at trying to become professionally, aggressively neutral. And I think it's not only possible to do, but it's extremely critical to do and to have in a functioning democracy. And I always say that, you know, back when I was doing hosting Flashpoint every Sunday morning, my hate mail tend to run 50-50. 50% of the people who were upset with me would write and just could not understand why Channel 4 was putting a conservative mouthpiece like me on the air. And the other 50% was so sick of listening to my liberal blah, 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 blah every Sunday morning. And I just always thought that was a pretty good sign. And I think it is it's possible to play devil's advocate with everybody. And I think it's the responsibility of a journalist to do so. And I think that that's our only way out of this, is we have to, again, applaud and reward aggressive, neutral journalism.
As an AD, 50-50 would have been pretty good, Terry.
Exactly right. Just saying. Devin, you know, last month, or I guess maybe it was 6 weeks ago or so, Sandy Barua and his team came out with the State of the Region, and they used the term Michigan's house is on fire. And that got a lot of headlines, and it got a lot of reaction. And some people, I think, maybe thought it was overstated. But what was your reaction to that? We're looking at polling that suggests that we were 40th or worst in a lot of really important categories.
And yet, the most troubling part of that, of the findings. I mean, yes, obviously, being in the 40th or in the lower percentile of any of these issues is bad. But the really troubling part is that Michiganders don't seem to know that. They seem unaware that smoke is pouring out of the top of the house, and we continue to just sort of go about our day. Our ability to react to what is obviously very troubling and very dangerous news, like what's happening with K-12 in Michigan, and yet what are we doing? Well, in some ways, this goes back to our purple problem, because we really can't seem to get everybody rowing in the same direction. But that's the bigger problem, I think, that we've arrived at this sort of crisis moment, and yet poll after poll tends to show us that, in general, people don't quite see that we're standing at a crisis moment. And boy, that's a problem, isn't it? I mean, you it's really hard to react to the house on fire if you're completely unaware that there's a problem.
Devin Skillian, I can't thank you enough for joining us, appropriately you, on this Mackinac Policy Conference special. Always looking for, I'm looking forward to maybe a Bloody Mary or espresso martini.
Exactly right.
And to me, WTF means Will Terry fall on the 168 stairs going down to the Tea Garden. So we're looking forward to seeing you up there.
You bet. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Devin.
We'll be back here on JR Sunday right after this. Welcome back to JR Sunday on this Mackinac Policy Conference special. And Terry, this is the interview of all of them that I'm most nervous about, because this guy does the best interviews across not only Detroit, but the state of Michigan, and really has a way of bringing out great conversation, great dialogue, and in most cases, really good solutions. Dennis Archer Jr., he's the founder and Chief Executive Officer of 1642 Ventures, and he joins us now on JR Sunday. Good morning, Dennis. It's great to have you with us.
Mark, what's happening, my brother, man? I can't wait to see you next week.
We are excited to be on the island. You served as a chair in 2016 of the Mackinac Policy Conference, and you've been part of this event for years and years. You will be right there with my leader, Dan Gilbert, on Thursday, May 28th at 12:30 on Growing Detroit, Growing Michigan. When you hear those two words, Growing Detroit and Growing Michigan, why do you put those together, and why is it so important that both focus on each other?
Well, let me preface that discussion with a couple of things. Number one, I'm looking forward to walking over to the Rocket Mortgage Classic in this summer and experience your leadership at the golf tournament. And number two, congratulations on making it to the Eastern Conference Final. I look forward to supporting the Cavaliers now that the Pistons are out.
See, Terry, that's why he's so good.
Exactly right.
Right.
Well, you know, it is. You know, I was texting with Dan about, you know, the game. I'm like, may the best team win. And, of course, he had, you know, a bunch of expletives. He was typing me back. yeah, I mean, I think it's fantastic for Cleveland. It's fantastic for Detroit because Dan's, you know, a Detroiter. But to answer your question, I mean, look, you cannot have a healthy Wayne County without a healthy Detroit. You cannot have a healthy southeastern Michigan, if you look at the 11-county region that the Detroit Regional Chamber represents, cannot be healthy or viable without the city of Detroit being strong. And, you know, lastly, you cannot have a strong Michigan without a strong Detroit, one that is growing and prospering and improving with whatever, Mark, metrics you choose to use to measure that, education, business development, and obviously population growth is key among those items.
Dennis, you've been a moderator up at the conference for so many years. It's hard to believe you were the chair 10 years ago already. That's amazing. But I've seen you moderate at various conferences up on Mackinac. Certainly, four times a year, we get to see you moderate great discussions at Pancakes and Politics with the Michigan Chronicle, including last week's discussion. Do you have a special, like, favorite memory? I go back, actually, thinking back to COVID, and you and Mary Barra had a meaningful discussion for Pancakes and Politics, but that was social distancing, and no one could be in the room and everything like that. You were just a master at that.
I mean, if I think of, you know, I don't know that I can think of one. I mean, I will say this, and this is not because I'm talking to you guys. My chats with Dan have been amazing. And I would say it's more so just rooted in the fact that, you know, we know each other. And so there's a comfort level that there's no gotcha questions coming. But, you know, there's things that people want to know. And this goes for whether it's, you know, Gary Torgo or Dan or the governor or Mayor Sheffield. Like, I'm not going to ask you anything that's going to make you feel like you're on the spot, but I am going to ask you some tough questions because, you know, there are things that viewers or audience participants want to know and deserve to know, and you have the answer to those questions. But, you know, I can ask it in a way that's not off-putting, et cetera. And, you know, I never give questions. If I'm pushed, I'll give topics. Mm-hmm. You know, we're shooting the second episode of Table for Four, our special that runs on NBC here in primetime six times a year. And, you know, I don't want to give away who we're interviewing, but she's young and she's female and a leader, and it's over dinner. But she doesn't have the questions, and she doesn't know necessarily what the topics are, but there's a trust there that says Dennis is not going to sit here at the dinner table and embarrass me. And so I can't, to answer your question, I can't speak to favorite times. I think that Dan and I had a blast at the Detroit Policy Conference, the first time that we ever did anything together. This very last time that I did the governor at Pancakes and Politics a few months ago, it was a riot. I mean, she was bantering me and I was bantering her back, which was all very organic and unplanned. So I think it's those type of moments that I enjoy most, when it's natural and organic and it's never scripted and you just don't know what you're going to get. And it forces the people I'm interviewing and me to pivot, you know, live on the spot in most instances.
Terry Rattigan and I are here in the studio. We're talking with Dennis Archer, Jr. I want to give you a couple of sport analogies and have you respond to these. One, a new coach comes into a program, whether it's an NFL team, NBA team, or a college, they immediately want to change uniforms, change the helmets, give a different look that presents them. Then they get into the role, and they have to take their team, which these individuals come from various backgrounds, have different ideologies, and they have to form them into a team that is unified and has the same goal. As you look at those two variables where coach comes in and wants to create change, of which we have a new mayor, we will have a new governor, and then has to immediately pull people together in a way where we're accomplishing great things together, how do you take those two examples and demonstrate where we can do something better in the future through a quest for common ground?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is the coach that comes in and makes immediate changes without input from whoever's left of the preceding coaching staff, without the players, without the ball boy, and whoever else is involved, that coach is not going to be successful. You know, a coach like a new mayor coming in, or like there will be a new governor coming in January of 2027, is best to understand you can have a platform or an agenda. You can have scouted the team. You can know a team because you've coached against them for years. But now that you're the coach of that team and you're on the inside, it'd be better suggested that you take a breath, step back, and understand and observe what's going on, and then make changes with the input from everybody on the team. Because then you got buy-in from everybody. My partner, Mike Carr, in our warehousing business, he always says, get everybody on the boat with you. And you need to get everybody on the boat with you. And in the instance of Mayor Sheffield, for example, I've seen her be extraordinarily collaborative, seeking input. She wants to learn. She takes notes. She's hiring bright people around her, some who've got a history in city government, some who have not ever worked in city government but have relevant experience. And I think that will ultimately yield success for her. And I'm hoping that the incoming governor does the same. And you guys, Terry and Mark, mentioned the theme, seeking common ground. I mean, if ever there was a time to have such a theme, it's this year's conference. And I'm hoping that people from, you know, various corners of the ring can meet in the middle and have discourse, even if it's challenging discourse. Even if you see people's faces getting a little red and people have to loosen up their collars a little bit. But if you can have candid, polite discourse on perhaps difficult subjects, I think that's when you build the best results. When you tiptoe around stuff and you don't really want to bring stuff up. I mean, you know, race is a common example. And I'm not sure, Terry, if you or Mark, you guys did Leadership Detroit.
Yes.
But, you know, when I did Leadership Detroit, I don't even remember what number I was. It was in the 90s. But that race section was the most real discussion I've had about race relations, probably still to this day. And as a result, we sponsor that session now most years since you've been able to sponsor that stuff, because I think it's so important. And the reason that conversation works is the same reason that it can work on Mackinac, because you have the people there that are moderating the discussion and they're professionals, and they create an environment where, you know, you're going to say whatever you're going to say, you're going to speak true to your feelings. But at the end of this, we're going to go to cocktail hour and shake hands, and everyone's going to get along. And we have people, including me, screaming in the session at other people. You had people, lots of people crying in the session. But from that session on, we were a united Leadership Detroit class. We still keep in touch, some of us, with each other. And I think that same thing can happen on Mackinac. If people, Mark, come open to being honest and candid, but being respectful. You got to be respectful. But speak your mind. You know, I may not like what somebody has to say, but as I say it respectfully, I got to digest it and think about it. And if we can do that, I think the conference thematically will be a success.
Well, Dennis, I was in Leadership Detroit 19, and I agree with everything you said about that race segment. And actually, I'm really proud that two of my classmates from Leadership Detroit 19 are playing a prominent role up on the island. That's Bob Riney, our chair, and Jennifer Granholm, former governor, who will be up there as well. So, yep, it was a meaningful time in my life way back in the 90s as well. Listen, Dennis, we can't thank you enough for taking a little bit of time to sort of preview what's going to be happening up on Mackinac Island. This is an especially important conference this year because of everything that's going on with the elections and the midterms. And for you to take a little bit of time to preview it with us means a lot.
If I could just end with this, guys, again, you know, go Cavs, good luck at Rocket Mortgage. But if I could say this about Bob Riney, Bob Riney is making this conference his. And for people that are your listeners that will be going to the conference, you have so much to look forward to. The schedule is addressing the needs and desires of the participants. Bob has listened and observed what people want to get out of this conference, and it's made, I would say, some pretty riveting changes to the conference that are going to be remarkable, and I think everyone's going to love it.
Thank you so much. Dennis Archer, Jr., this community is lucky to have him in our community, as is the entire state of Michigan, and we appreciate you so much. We'll be back here. Thank you. We'll be back here on JR Sunday right after this. Welcome back to JR Sunday on this Mackinac Policy Conference special presented by the Detroit Regional Chamber. It's great to have Megan Spanitz with us. She is the Chief Operating Officer and Chief Strategy Officer and Chief Everything Else at the Detroit Regional Chamber. She has a lot of balls in the air this week, Terry.
No question about it. Some of the changes that we've made that she's leading have also led to more work because it's some new things that we haven't done before, but the team is responding admirably.
Megan, welcome to JR Sunday.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me. Hi, Terry.
Hi, Megan.
I want to start with this, and looking at the notes, you started with this organization right out of college. And what was that first role, and then now what are you doing today? Like, it's incredible that you've been with your organization for, was it 5 years since you've graduated?
Thanks. Yeah. Since August of 99. And so I went to school for journalism, and my first job out of college was at the Chamber, writing newsletters, print newsletters. We had about 8 of them. We printed them in black and white, mailed them to people. And I quickly learned that that wasn't the best strategy to get the story out at the Chamber. It was on the cusp of email marketing and really investing in your website, and kind of created an in-house agency at the Chamber to better communicate, inform, market all of the things we do to our members in the region at large.
So as folks are this Sunday morning, they're packing, they're getting ready as they're listening to this show, what are some of the things about the 2026 Mackinac Policy Conference that maybe folks that have gone for 20 years that might be a little bit different this year?
So we've really responded to patterns of behaviors of attendees and feedback we've received from our board of directors, also the attendees survey, about how the priorities of individuals vary. You know, some come to the conference and want to do meetings, one-on-one meetings with people they can't reach when they're back in their day job. Others want to hear thought leadership from national and statewide leaders. Others come to network. They want to expand their business network. And what we've done this year is really changed up the agenda, where we're consolidating the amount of time that we're providing that national thought leadership in the main room, the theater. And when we're bringing speakers in there, we're bringing the best of the best so that it's thought-provoking, compelling, talking about solutions and finding common ground. And we want a packed house. So we're bringing in people like Secretary Buttigieg, Vice President Mike Pence, Gary Sinise, the actor, who will have a great message about finding common ground and patriotism and supporting our veterans. And so we expect those times to be the times we want you to focus on dedicating to thought leadership. And then the rest of the day is a choose your own adventure. So people that still want to talk about economic development or data centers or education, there'll be plenty of discussions, panel discussions in some of the other rooms. And then we're also launching kind of a new series of networking activities. So those that are coming for the first time that might not know a lot of people, whether you want to do something that is focused on wellness, like yoga with Senator Mallory McMurrow, or pedaling with politicals, doing a bike ride, a walk run with Brian Kelly from SBAM, or cocktail and mocktail making, or a euchre tournament with our chair, Bob Briney. And so we're trying to institute some fun into the conference, too.
Great networking opportunities as well. I can't wait to see Lieutenant Dan and hear what he has to say. Megan, we talked already to, for one, Tricia Keith, the Diamond sponsor, Blue Cross Blue Shield, and certainly expressed our gratitude to her. But can you talk a bit about the role that sponsors play in this major conference every year?
So this conference serves as the biggest fundraiser for the Chamber annually. So the sponsors, the conference would not be possible without sponsors and their support for investing in the event to make sure we can bring in these nationally recognized speakers and have, great meals, enjoy the Grand Hotel's hospitality. The sponsors make that possible. But they are also funding our organization for the other 51 weeks of the year. Some of our work related to government relations, we go and invest from the conference into the Chamber's day jobs.
One of the questions I have for you, and I'm doing a similar situation right now, is with the Rocket Classic, you have a lot of time to prepare, and then the event gets here, and it's just full bore ahead on all the things that you need to execute. How are you keeping your team, your staff, which is small and mighty, but have a lot to do over the next 10 days that are really going to ramp up here very quickly?
It's a couple of things. I think there's a lot of trust. Many of the Chamber's staff is very tenured, and we do a little bit of the mantra, work hard, play hard. We make sure we have fun with each other. Going up to the hotel for a week, I leave on Friday, a lot of our staff come in through the weekend. It is kind of like a summer camp, where you are with each other nonstop and you have each other's back. And I think that there's just a lot of pride in the output of the conference, and we like to celebrate that together. And that's what gets us through these long days this week, reworking details nonstop, problem solving together. And everyone takes really a lot of pride and ownership.
Because
in
everything goes according to schedule, right? Nothing ever changes or you have no surprises. So it's easy once you have the plan done, right?
Surprises are happening in every hour at the moment.
Constantly.
Yeah.
We were talking to Sandy earlier and talked about the fact that both Mark and I had a different perspective of the conference based on the various career moves that we've made. And certainly with my career at General Motors, I would arrive as a business executive and, everything was just, all the details were handled. And now to be a member of your team and to be able to see, and it happens over time gradually, but you can start to see it's a beehive of activity and it builds to a crescendo, and the crescendo is today, it's tomorrow, just before everyone gets in cars and heads north. But it really is a pleasure to be a part of it, to help out where I can, and I want to congratulate you on what I would call a family atmosphere that you've engendered there.
Thank you. We always say, titles don't go with you to Mackinac. We'll have our CFO will be stuffing gift bags for hours in a room at the Grand Hotel. A lot of staff step up into roles that aren't their day job and are managing production in a session when their day job is working with, colleges on our talent projects. So it's really, it's nice to see everyone just buy into the vision, do what it takes to get the job done.
We're both, our backgrounds are in journalism. And as you look at the event up there, we talked with Devin Skillian about this a little bit. You have 1,500 or so participants. You have 100 credentialed media plus. What role do you see the media playing in this policy conference? As folks are entering trusted conversations and the like, they then spend time with WJR, WDIV, other media organizations. How do you see the media really being a valued part of what's going on the island?
They're just as critical as the sponsors, just in a completely different way. I mean, their role in sharing what is happening on that island with the state, in some cases, the nation. We have a number of national media outlets coming this year. And it's really important from a storytelling perspective to share the highlights, the conversations, the buy-in from business, government, civic leaders on, the state's future, economic prosperity, solving some of the state's challenges. And so sharing those conversations so that I think it can help share that there's hope, that, you know, there's a lot of people that care about moving Michigan forward, and the media is a critical partner in telling that story.
Megan, we're going to have you back here to help us wrap up and get a few closing comments for you, and appreciate you being here. And you can stay for one more segment, right?
Of course.
Okay. We're going to be back here to wrap it up on JR Sunday on this Mackinac Policy Conference special right after this. We're back on JR Sunday to wrap it up. Terry, this is a unique event here that we're blessed in the state of Michigan to have.
No doubt about it, and it's 50 years strong. And, you know, Megan, I know that other chambers have tried to replicate this. Imitation is the highest form of flattery. So they've come to you and asked, how do you do it, and how could we do it in our own state? And to date, we're not aware that anyone's been able to. Talk about that a little bit, please.
We've hosted chambers from around the country, other major metropolitan regions. They've come and checked out the event. And I mean, the Mackinac Policy Conference is truly unique in the nation. And part of what makes it unique is the geographic location. I mean, you are on an island for 3 days, away from distractions, and able to be accessible and focus on the conference at hand. We also wouldn't be able to conduct this experience for 1,600 people that attend the conference, but then everyone else that takes over the island, if it wasn't for the strength of the partnerships that we have. In particular, obviously, the Grand Hotel is a legacy partner of this conference, and they let us take over the hotel, whether it's, you know, branding of the sponsorship, turning the ballroom into a media center. But the island is also equally critical. The mayor, the Convention and Visitors Bureau, Tim High, they really work with us to make sure that our guests are taken care of. So whether you're at the Grand Hotel enjoying what the chamber puts on, or you're at an event that we call it tailgating, because the conference attracts people that don't even come up to the hotel, it's the partnership with the island and all the businesses that really make it possible.
We all see the amazing things, Terry, that are done up there, whether it's in the programming, the networking. I wonder how many people say, hey, do you have a minute? You know, everybody wants to talk to everybody and kind of pull them in. When you go behind that curtain that Megan so does an incredible job, the whole team does. This event will end, you know, here at the end of the week, this week. And when it's done, when do you start getting ready for 27? Is that something that's immediate, or do you got to take a breath and kind of recover?
It's immediate in the sense that we're already working to prepare the chair for 2027 over the summer. Mm-hmm. We'll make the announcement of the 2027 chair on Thursday, and then begin working with that individual's team to acclimate them and begin the planning process that really starts ramping up in the fall.
And is this the preparation for the chamber chair, or is the chamber chair the preparation for this?
So the chair of the conference becomes the chair of the chamber after, and it's often noted that being first vice chair is actually the tougher job. But right. You really get, that individual really gets to learn the team and understand, you know, who does what at the chamber. It's a very good learning experience to prepare you for the chair role.
Talking to Megan Spanitz from the Detroit Regional Chamber. Megan, we made a lot of news with the Michigan's Houses on Fire at the State of the Region event last month. Do we expect to hear more of that at the Mackinac Policy Conference as well?
Yes, that'll be a big message that we're kicking off on Tuesday with a discussion with Sandy Barua and Bob Riney. We're going to continue to hit the point home that Michigan's house is on fire. It's been multiple decades of decline. And while we're ringing this alarm bell, we're actually taking the conversation to the next level. And I know you talked to Devin Skillion earlier. He'll be leading a number of sessions called WTF, but means what's the fix. And so we're, you know, willing to you know, ring these alarm bells, but we also want to use the Mackinac Policy Conference to talk about solutions and changing that trajectory.
Hang on to that guardrail, Terry, when you're going down. I switch it to will Terry fall this down the stairs. It's uneven and all that.
Yeah. But,
as somebody's preparing to come to this, and there's so much preparation, and basically there people are departing tomorrow or the following day to come up. First time person, they're new to Michigan. They're new to a corporation. It's the first time they've elevated to a role where they get to go up there. What's that first timer advice that you would have for somebody coming the very first time?
I think it's twofold. The first is prepare. We have more on the agenda than we've ever had in my experience working at the chamber. And I think I counted the other day, and there's one period of time on Wednesday where there literally are 17 different things going on. So really become familiar with the agenda. Figure out what your priority sessions are to attend or activities. You know, look at the list in the conference app. Figure out who you'd like to try to run into. You can message them in the app. You know, figure out your agenda and don't try to overbook yourself, because there is a lot of organic connections to be made. The second is look at the weather and look at the weather again and again and again, because it is going to constantly change in your time leading up to the conference, and wear smart shoes.
Terry, any closing comments?
No, Megan covered it. The weather really can't. I mean, you can be 80 degrees in Gaylord as you're driving up, and by the time you get to the island, it's 57 degrees.
Yeah, so you can get on the ferry in Mackinac City, and it's different by the time you get over to the island sometimes. So I get it. Dress in layers. Well, it's great. You know, great. Megan, thank you for taking the time, and thank you for coordinating all the folks. I reached out, and I said, I want to do this show, and you came through with just unbelievable guests talking about a very important topic.
Well, thank you. I have to be honest. It's like Paul W. says, the team, the team, the team. We have a great team at the Chamber, and they really identified some great guests for you today, and I'm glad that it all came together. So thanks for thinking of us.
And in East Lansing, we say go green, not the team, the team.
Go white.
The team. Yeah, it's go white. Thanks for joining us on JR Sunday. Appreciate all of you listening. The Inside Outside guys, they're coming up next with Ken and Chuck. A special thanks to all the team members at Tryon Solutions for helping companies relieve the stress and burden of HR administration so you can focus on your core business. A special thanks today to Dave Rieger for helping get us through all of this scheduling and coordination. Appreciate you as always. And for everyone out there, keep driving, Detroit.